Greetings, friends. What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome back to the show. Here we are again. We have another hot podcast for you today. My friend Cal Fodi is here again to join me, and hopefully you enjoy what we talk about. We got a lot of things going on. We got a lot of projects. We got a lot of things planned. And I hope you guys are doing well. Everything's going okay in my world, you know, just working away, trying to get content out. I just uploaded a new video yesterday on YouTube for my 800th post celebration on InstaSlam. So, hey, go check it out. It's only like a minute and 6 seconds long. So, that's about my car. I hope everyone's cool with that. Not that I care if you are. Anyway, it's a beautiful day. We are about to crush this week, so hopefully everybody's doing good. I hope y'all had a tremendous weekend. And yeah, here we go. Welcome back to the podcast. Let's do it.
Why are you laughing?
You have any tokens for the machine down the street?
Welcome to the Why Are You Laughing podcast.
Oh boy.
Tuesday, March 30th, Cal Fodi, and your Uncle Sammy. Burning Man, baby. What's up? Oh my goodness, what's popping? Hello, back at it again. It's Monday, Tuesday. It's Tuesday. Monday by the time you listen. We're back at it again. It is a Tuesday afternoon / nighttime over here in, well, almost in Walmart, New Hampshire. Because of you. Because you love my Walmart so much. What happens to me is this, ladies and gentlemen. I get through my weeks day by day, and I just lose memory, and I lose my sanity all in one. So.
Hang on, you're killing your microphone right now.
All right, I'll turn it down. I apologize. Are we doing okay now?
I mean, you're still pretty hot.
I'm so hot. Okay, let me turn it down a little. How about now?
It's better.
It might be your headphones, to be honest.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know.
What the heck kind of headphones are those? You stealing from the homeless guy down the street or what?
I mean, dollar store, you know, Five Below. I don't know.
Oh, Five Below. There's something about Five Below that's very, very intriguing. Yeah. It's just the fact that they have so much crap. You know, that's the kind of store where you know that the industries are fueling these businesses. Like, okay, we'll give you whatever you want, and then you can charge it for Five Below, but we're going to charge it for 10 grand. And so this thing that has one little flaw that you don't even see is going to get charged for $5. So congratulations on that. Check this out, Cal.
What's up?
You ever have your artwork on a mug before?
It's a mug. Is that you painted that?
Yes.
What was that?
I made this in, let's pretend, 2000, 2001, something right around there, because I had done a lot of artwork in my kindergarten classes. So yeah. we would put sculptures together and stuff like that. But yeah, in 2001, a lot of what was big when I was younger was putting your artwork on everything. Because for instance, check out this mouse pad. This is also my artwork. So I drew that. I mean, a lot of this stuff was just kept by my mother.
Yeah.
So,
they tend to do that.
Yep. Well, when you're the one and only and there's nobody else that could top your greatness, you tend to remember those people with artwork. Hence this. What's up with you, kid? Talk to me.
Oh man, I don't know. Just
you looking good, you feeling good, you cut your own hair again?
I did cut my own hair again. I'm not like super happy with it, but
what's
it's short.
What's the science behind that? What's the science behind that? How do you do that?
Oh man, you just take a leap of faith and you kind of you watch a couple YouTube tutorials and then you just go for it, man. You kind of just have to accept the fact that if you screw up, you're shaving it off, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking at this point. It's like there are a lot of people I work with that have lost their hair, but in my mind I'm like, you know, if that ever came close, it would all be gone. I would not keep the little fryer ring.
Yeah, I know.
Confession, you know?
Yeah, absolutely not.
It's not going to happen.
If my hairline starts receding and I try to save it, I want somebody to tell me and be like, dude, just save it. Because like it just looks so stupid. It's like, you know what's going. Just accept it. Honestly, it's easier way of life, you know?
No, for sure. Especially if you got a nicely shaped head.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Which me, I was blessed with that. So, you know, my teeth may fall out, but my head's still going to look great. Can it be shiny like a cue ball, you know?
There we go. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've been doing it for about 2 years now. It's been That's a long crazy. Time. How? It's been a long time since I went to a barber, but...
A barber. Yep.
I do like going to the barber. It was just a way to save money, and I kind of just got used to it. I'm never, like... absolutely thrilled when I do it, but it's always like presentable, and honestly that's all I care about.
Well, at this point it's really, you're only presenting yourself on camera, so that's pretty much as far as right now goes, you know.
Yeah.
You know who cuts hair real good is Neil Bronco, our boy that opens up for us.
Oh,
sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, he plays acoustic, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Dude, he is an amazing barber. The guy literally has it down to a science, Cal. It's crazy to watch him work, because I'll get my hair cut and, you know, it may take a little bit more time, but he's just so into the science of how to get it just right. You know, I know a lot of people like that, and he's just one of those guys that always loves cutting people's hair, you know?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I mean, some people are just really good at it, too. It's harder cutting your own hair, too, than cutting somebody else's.
Oh, my God. Stupid. Oh, I got to figure out what's wrong with my computer. Maybe get it analyzed by...
Are you getting viruses?
No, I just get these stupid pop-ups, and I try to block them. And, you know, you got to go into your settings and all that happy horse crap. And for some reason, it's not showing up in the apps that I can delete. So, you know, I just have to... constantly keep clicking that stupid little X in the top corner.
Yeah, I guess so.
But anyway, so yeah, Neil's good. It's funny to watch him work, because also he puts that same sort of energy into his playing. You watch him one time go up on stage and he just completely blows the roof off of the place. You know, and like he's one of those guys who... when I was first starting playing guitar and doing the solo thing, I aspired to be something like that. He's just so good at everything he does. Every cover he plays, even the songs that he's written in this past year. Like, I don't know if you've listened to any of his stuff, but he's so
Does he have stuff
good. Out? Yeah. He's got a YouTube. I'll send you some links after this.
Yeah.
It's just like to see his craft really come out on stage. You could tell how he carries himself as a person. It's like, my goodness, he's really tiptoeing through, you know, these songs and trying to articulate it to the way that it needs to be crafted. And he just does such a great job.
I agree.
I had always hoped to play to do something like that.
Yeah.
Because you were a solo artist yourself for a little while, actually, you know, because I knew you before... most of the other guys that know you now.
Right.
You played some acoustic yourself. Now, did you play shows and gigs before you got into the band, or was it just kind of like a gradual thing?
I mean, if you can call them shows, it was just mostly parties, you know. I called them shows at the time, but looking back, it was just a bunch of friends supporting, you know, but
Right.
Like house parties and stuff, which were always, you know, they're always fun. But
oh, for sure, absolutely.
Yeah. So like, and then I had guys that I played with, and that they would they never really wanted to be in a quote unquote band, but they would always, I would be like, hey, I got this gig and I want to play my material. Would you play it with me? And so I've been in three pieces before, but it's just never been like a band, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. Now that's how I feel about my graduation party. I talked about that on the last podcast with Dusty.
Yeah.
Which is going to be two podcasts ago. People, you got to understand. I got to interject my own story for a second. It happens to me that, you know, people schedule things and it doesn't necessarily happen on that day. So I have to like move around and shuffle things and get people like Cal who come in the clutch to do this work with me. So, you know, it's just, you got to understand that things get messed up. Anyway, so when I told that story about my graduation party, and I told the story about that tweet that I found, you know, from years and years ago, you know, this when I graduated high school. And so, like, the Soda was supposed to perform.
Right.
You know, and we had scheduled something to perform, but then Corey ended up having to back out for some reason. I think he had a family thing, whatever. Anyway, so I had to pull something together in the clutch. You know, Sully was not in Soda yet. This was that, you know, because I knew him 10 years before that.
Right.
We met when we were like 11 years old.
Yeah.
And then, you know, fast forward to the party, Georgie came in the clutch. You know, Master Mark Olson came in the clutch. My boy, you know, it's like all these people who knew me came out to play this show. And, you know, it was just like a collaboration of all these artists who were either solo acts that went into bands or were in bands before that.
Right.
So, you know, they already had experience. But it's funny that you say that about like bringing people together and kind of doing those house parties. I love that type of stuff. It's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun for sure. It's good to get like, it's good to get experience with doing just public stuff. Mm-hmm. And because it's almost like an eye opener to see, like, sometimes you're playing for a crowd of two people when you're playing like a public show, you know, right. and it's as nice as it is to like have your friends, like invite all your friends out. You don't want to like burn them out. Cause like they get sick of seeing you, you know, cause you're playing the same songs over and over and over to the same people.
Absolutely.
But it is nice to like, to have that interaction with your friends. Cause it's like, it's encouraging.
I tried, like, it's funny you talk about that, Cal, because when I was doing my acoustic thing, I was playing every Thursday. You know, this was not like a once in a while thing. I was out there at Fritz pretty much for the most part every Thursday trying to do my stuff. And, you know, I think it's important about what you just said is that not playing the same songs over and over again, you know, it's less of a wear out because people are used to that stuff. You know, they go and they watch and then, we're just
here
for Sam. We're not paying attention, but, you know.
You
know, every set I would try to switch my setup every single time. The list was always different. There was never really a time when I had the same songs on the docket. And I'm pretty proud of that, to be honest. If I could say one thing in my career that I'm proud about, that is one of them. Always changing and always trying to adapt. Because there are some guys, Cal, and you know this too, that will go up and play the same set every single time. Every single time. It's like, yep, we heard that song. Yep, we heard that song. Can you just shut up?
that's the problem we ran into, man, with Disquiet is like with when I came into the band.
Right, because there's only one album out.
Yeah, these guys had been, you know, playing these songs over and over. And even the new songs, everybody knew them, but they weren't new songs anymore. They had been written for so long, but just like they never got around to recording it. That's why I'm excited about what we're doing now. And like consistently every Sunday we've been laying down something. Like right now we're laying down drum tracks and we're probably like 7 or 8 songs deep, you know.
Does Steve have to take like 25-minute breaks after each session?
Oh man, No, he's.
You
he's,
know you're old when you walk around with your mouth open like this.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the old man vibe for sure, but he can still play.
Yeah. No, he can't. The guy's a savage. I knock him, but I love him so much. Anyway.
Yeah, he's cool.
I'm sorry for that joke, ladies and gentlemen. Please forgive me.
Nah, dude, you've said much worse.
I said much worse.
Trust me.
Yeah. Just ask Corey. So,
You keep it right around there. You're good, you know.
It's funny, Cal. I have had a really hard time with not saying how I feel in my life, and I have paid the price for that. So,
no, I mean, we've all eaten our words before, man. It's it happens.
I eat my words and then I eat cupcakes. Now look at me. I roll into
words and cupcakes. That's Sam Clapp's diet.
Can I get a
crane words
to
and
drop
cupcakes.
Me into my chair for the show?
Pizza, yeah. Words, and cupcakes. That's Sam's diet.
Oh man, I haven't eaten pizza in forever. Where's your top?
What?
Okay. So where's your go-to if you get pizza? Like, do you go if you're in New York? Okay.
Yeah.
Where do you
as
go
in,
for pizza?
As in, like New York City, or like
where you're at? Like, where's the like where right around the corner okay. or whatever? If there's a place that's near you, what's great?
Yeah, so the closest good place is actually not even a quote unquote pizza, like a pizza place. It's a tavern.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
And they do like barbecue and all you know all other kinds of stuff. It's kind of like what you always say, like a local watering hole. Like if I had to call a place a local watering hole for this area, it would be that place. It's called the Town Tavern.
The Town Tavern. Okay.
But they do really see, it depends on the person, but for me, I like a good crust, a good, like, not like cracker thin crust, but like a good, like medium thickness, good crisp, crust with a flavorful sauce.
Right.
And that's like a typical Brooklyn slice. Like you go to the city, you get a nice thin slice. That I like typical New York pizza. That's just me.
I got a show coming up with Jared Landry, my boy, and we're going to be doing like all different kinds of pizza tastings with some friends of ours. And I'm
really?
So excited for it. It's going to be like a
nice.
It's going to be a live tasting, kind of like I did with Tom.
Yeah, a live tasting of pizza.
Only this time I won't have to drink trick or treat seltzers and shoot myself.
Oh man, don't say that.
Those are good. You know, I can't lie to you. I actually enjoyed them quite a bit. I didn't like the strawberry one, but the lime one and the grapefruit one were top notch. Very, very good. And I'm not a seltzer person. You know, so it's hard for me to, you know, it's like Corey with his IPAs. He doesn't drink any.
Yeah, like, he doesn't try any other kind of beer.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. He'll go for the specifics.
Neither do you, really, though, right?
Yeah,
you, like,
I mean,
like when you talk about beer, you say IPA, like that's the only beer in your mind, which is not necessarily good or bad, but
because I can't stand the other stuff. I mean, I
don't know, man. I think we just need to try more.
I do try. I try a lot of different beers. I'm just not. I don't like stout because of the coffee flavor and like desserty flavor. You know what I'm saying? It's just not my thing.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah,
like,
stouts like dark beer in general. It's
yeah,
like,
I just don't like dark beer.
It comes like the quote unquote like coffee flavor that you're coming. That's getting. It's just the malt base that is made in the beer. It's like it's just kind of the taste, you know. So it's kind of like. You either hate it or you love it, but you can come to grow to like it. It just takes, you know, palates change.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. So, I never ate salad in my life. And then last year or a couple of years ago, it was like my everyday meal because I lost a good amount of weight, which I'm going to again. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. This is not the guy you're going to have to stare at for the next however many days that I last. So, But yeah, the only thing I ever ate when I was younger was peanut butter and jelly. Like, that was my go-to. I didn't want any meat sandwiches. I didn't want nothing.
Unless, yeah.
It's like, unless you're going to give me chicken noodle soup, then don't bother me. I'll eat my PB&J.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
super simple.
PB&J
yeah.
and milk. Even at lunches, Cal. Even at lunches for my elementary school, all the way up to high school, I'd still go get a peanut butter and jelly.
Did you? Here's a question. Did your elementary school put a Kraft single slice of cheese on top of your peanut butter and jelly sandwich? No. Divided.
Kraft cheese on a peanut butter and jelly?
No, not like not in the sandwich, right?
Oh, I'm like,
but as like almost like a side. Like my my school.
No, that never happened.
My school used to do that and it was so nasty.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Like, what made you think that it'd be a good idea to put a Kraft single American slice of cheese on top of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
They're like, he's being deprived of dairy. Throw some cheese at him.
that's not even cheese.
So no, it ain't even cheese. That's the thing. So let me ask you a question, Kyle. Where in New York, I know you've told me 1,000 times,
yeah.
but like, where is your town actually located? Is it near... Is it like way upstate?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I live in a nothing town called Steventown, but I'm like 30 minutes away from Albany, which, you know, everybody knows is the capital.
What? Albany's the capital?
Yeah, it's the capital of New York.
Nobody told me.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong. There's decent stuff to do around here. There's good spots to hit.
I bet it's quieter than if you would live in the city.
Yeah, and it's very small. Like, when people think Albany, New York, or they think the capital of New York, that it's like they have this picture in their head, especially people from the city, like New York City. They picture Albany as this big thing, and then they get here and it's literally, you can see it all from one view. It's just this little tiny downtown, and then it surrounds by suburbs.
Let me ask you this question. Do you know where Edwards, New York is?
Edwards, dude, there's so many towns. Is that the one up north where you played that show? Is that what you're talking about?
This had to be, I'd have to go back in my phone and look. In fact, I'm going to, because I'm that type of host. I will go for the goal.
Well, see, like, here's the thing, because with Keen,
here's the deal.
Oh, every time.
Good Lord.
Well, Keen is north of where I am, east and north.
Okay.
So it's probably a little, maybe not shorter, but like, you would think I'm closer to northern New York, like up, like in the Adirondacks, but you're probably the equal distance just because you're north and I have to drive farther north, but you still have to drive west. But
okay,
anyways.
So I found the picture. So, and you know what I'll probably do is put it as the cover art. But maybe I'll put up 2 photos for you people. Maybe if you're worth it, maybe. So
you're worth it.
So this is October of 2017. Okay.
Okay.
I drive five and a half hours, basically.
That sounds right. Yeah.
To get upstate, because, you know, they're not my godparents, but if the people, like, if my mother, if anything ever happened to my mother, like, these are the people that would have been taking me in, you know?
Yeah.
So it was their 50th anniversary party. Okay. I drive all the way up there. I'm thinking in my head, this is going to be a nightmare. Because, trust me, I played in New York before, and I've seen upstate. There's a lot of country and like 3 stores. One with a gas station, one with a fire hydrant that's spewing water, and nobody knows about it. It's just,
especially, especially when you get up north there on the north way going straight to Canada. Like, if you're going to Montreal, once you get past like Lake George, There is nothing.
Oh, nothing.
Absolutely you lose nothing. Your cell reception.
Oh, my word. You see the one homeless guy that's made a shelter that's just like savage because nobody knows about it? He builds this thing up like 20 feet tall. This is my little hut. And the cops never drive by there because it's useless. It's like, no. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm ranting at this point. So, I go up there and I think I'm going to have the worst time on earth. I was dead wrong, Calfoni. I walked into that town, and it was boring, and there was nothing to do, but the restaurants and the people and, you know, just the quiet and the cool air at night, it was mad fun, bro. I had a good time. We went to this one place when I got there. It had a sandwich, like a burger, like not the Walmart burger. This burger was like a chunk thing. Okay, I mean, I'm not kidding, by the way. That those White Castle burgers from Walmart, you want to shoot yourself?
Oh, that's what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, that's a slider, dude. That's supposed to be small. Anyways,
you get a savage burger, okay? Chips, a drink, and an ice cream for like $5. All that stuff for like $5. It was a dream come true. So I went in there, and then the diners were tremendous. Every one of them was great. I had to walk up these little stairs in a foxhole to go to use the bathroom, but other than that, it was fine. So, I get into that town, and I'm starting to have a good time, and then I played for probably, it had to be 250 people, just me, all by myself, and I'm thinking in my head, like, back to those times, and I'm a little nervous to get back on stage because I've always been with people up for the last 8 years.
Right.
You know, it was only on very small occasions I play by myself. And so now jumping back into that, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if I still have that same oomph that I had when I first started. Because I think, as you know, it's like when you started learning guitar and you started playing for people, I'm sure as it went on, you got your confidence built up. Like, was it easier and easier to play for people, or do you get nervous still after all these years?
There's I don't know if nervous is the right words. There's definitely like some nerves. But it's like, I like for anything that's a big moment in my life, it doesn't matter if I'm about to go snowboarding or like anything that's like an exciting thing that is like a risk, but it's something cool. I get the same kind of anxious feeling that it's like, it's almost like my mind is fighting with itself. It's like, it's like, man, you don't want to do this, but I'm like, yeah, I really want to do this, but it's like that. I always get this like weird feeling.
Right.
And it's never gotten better or worse. It just kind of always, I always get this the same feeling. It's weird. It's not bad because like there is like a certain energy that you just feel.
Oh, for sure.
Even if it's just a party, you know, like as soon as you strike that chord and
the people around you.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it's just like singing for a couple friends, there's a certain energy that just kind of overtakes you.
Side point, it's like I grew up in the areas where people told me to put my guitar away when I was at the fire.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's like, all right.
It's so weird with music, man, because there's, it takes a certain type of people to be around
that
actually want to hear it. Yeah, other people just don't, like, oh yeah, put the guitar away kind of thing. Yeah. Right. No, I've had that before too. Yeah. But as musicians, I've always been like a fiddly person. Like I always need like something in my hand to like
something to do.
Yeah.
I feel the exact same way.
Otherwise, I'm like uncomfortable talking to people, like especially if it's not somebody I'm like super comfortable.
Yeah.
I'll find myself like tugging at my shirt or like doing something stupid. Yeah.
Especially like, so it's it's funny how music has helped me focus through the years. Like,
right.
It was at the very tail end of my high school time that, you know, people were starting to tell you to take your headphones out. You know, you can't have this, can't have that.
Yeah, right.
But the headphones, I put those things in, man, I think better, I'm not distracted, and I'm able to do my work. There's something about the formula, Cal, that really, it's about what you just said. It's like, it's the only way you could talk to people. You know, sometimes it's the only way you can watch TV is by having something in my hand, which is very weird. But by that same token, it's just like, I understand exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah. Like, speaking of pre-show rituals and like jitters, the one of the previous drummers that was in Disquiet, his name is his name was Dursu, I think.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. He was a killer drummer. Like he pounded hard on those drums, man.
Yeah.
I never met him, but he had the funniest pre-show ritual.
Yeah.
He would like get super anxious and like freak out, like almost to the point of, I don't want to do this, I want to leave, you know. Then he would pass out, he would fall asleep. Like we'd be in the green room or whatever, and he would fall asleep on the, like pass out on the couch or whatever was there. And then he'd wake up as soon as they're going to go on, and he'd be ready to go.
Wow.
Every single time.
Wow.
Like he had to take a nap. Yeah. he had to take a nap before the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm hoping that by the time the show comes around, because I announced the date with Dusty or whatever, but as the
The
dates gets closer, because they are gonna call me for more spots. So I mean, we'll see how that goes. So as dates go and go along, I'll give out more information. But it's the only thing I know is that it's August 5th in Peterborough, New Hampshire. So if anyone knows where it is, feel free to come out and support my unhealthy habit of playing all the time.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. It's, again, you know, I'm sad because I'm not with my boys, but, you know, at the same time, it'll be nice to sort of revisit the solo world and see how, you know, I can sort of adapt my chops, you know. Because I'm always trying to do better.
You know,
that's the thing that Dustin pointed out, is that he's, and that him and I have in common and have had in common for years and years, is that we're constantly smacking ourselves in the face after shows, like, what just happened? You know, you could have improved on this.
That's everybody, though. Yeah, I mean, not saying like you in particular, like it's not.
No, I get
you. I feel like anybody in a creative space, no matter if it's music or anything, they're always like their worst critic. Yeah. Trajectory. Yep. No, but like I've, you know, just being in the filmmaking world, you know, that's just constantly, like, I had a whole conversation about Micah about this. Shout out to you, Micah. You're OG.
Yeah, that Pastor PC video is trash. The channel's terrible, and so are you. I love you.
But yeah, because like one of a famous YouTuber, Peter McKinnon, like,
oh,
one
he's tremendous. He's doing Angels and Airwaves, Doc.
Yeah.
Oh, we talked about that.
I was like, man, what?
Conversation before.
No, you've had that conversation with Micah, not me.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah, but that's like, I was like, man, you actually know him. And I was like, oh, Angels and Airwaves. That's why he knows him.
Please.
I was like, why would you watch a filmmaker's YouTube?
I'm very knowledgeable. Very knowledgeable of film and directing and producing. It's my forte.
Yeah, I mean, if he ever actually finishes that documentary, my goodness.
He will. You know what it is? Yeah. Is that it's like, Tom DeLonge is behind that wheel as much as Peter McKinnon is, because, you know, Tom's the one who, it's his return journey to the stage. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see. Like, I'm going to pause what we were talking about a second ago and go into the docu a little bit. it's going to be so interesting to see how, like, what product comes out of this documentary. Because there's something that we need to remember, is that his band, Angels and Airwaves, is nothing like Blink. Yes, it's Tom DeLonge, and yes, it's his music, and yes, this is a completely different project and a completely different scale of talent. Because his band is not only a band, but it's also an art project.
Right, you know, right.
They make films and do comic books and artwork and all this other stuff that people don't really know about. So when this comes out, it's going to be very interesting to see what the final product is.
Yeah, unless you like, unless you're really into Tom DeLonge, or if, and you've watched the documentary that Ernie Ball did, you don't know anything about that.
Right.
Exactly. Which that was another great documentary.
What a great documentary, but, fantastic.
What was I going to say? But yeah, no. Man, what was I going to say?
We were talking about the solo thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. But so Peter McKinnon always has this great, great expression, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But he always says it's better that you release it than it be perfect. And I know that's more of like, if you're applying it to back to music, it would be about like recording music. But, you know, your craft is never going to be perfect because it's always a continuous journey. No matter what you're doing, no matter what you're always going to look back at where you are and the stuff that you've done at that second and say it's crap.
Right.
But if you take the thing that you've done just then, and the first thing that you've done from the beginning of your journey, and you compare the two, the growth is tremendous.
Yes, absolutely.
But in the moment, you're always right there, and you're always thinking, oh, this is crap.
Mm-hmm.
But just let it be, let it not be perfect, and move on to the next thing. Because if you let it all like just get trapped in your mind, you're never going to do anything.
You're going to psych yourself out.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that, Cal, because that's exactly what happened to me. It was such a gradual thing to where, you know, well, I picked up the guitar when I was 9.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, at that point, it seemed like it was going to take forever to learn. And it did. But now it seems like it was just yesterday. And I look back at those times and think about each individual struggle, and it made me better. You know, it was like it made me a better player. It made me pay more attention to, you know, what I was doing and multitasking and, you know, trying to write better songs. And, you know, just everything that goes into being a musician is like is adding up more and more and more with what I know, because my experience has grown vastly, you know, more than I ever thought it would.
Especially with learning to play guitar, man. Like you think about, like for me, I think about those times that I had, all I wanted to do was learn how to play the Kirk Hammett solo in Enter Sandman.
Mm.
And I would play it, like play back to it. And for hours and hours, man, I would be practicing that solo. And I recorded myself, and I look back at that once in a while. I don't know where it is. It's somewhere. It's probably on my parents' computer somewhere. But I look back at that recently, a couple of years ago, and it was like, oh man, I didn't have it at all. But I just remember like the struggle of just hours and hours and hours of playing that same stinking stupid solo over and over and over and over again.
I used to.
Oh man,
I was in middle school. And I remember there was a project that I didn't want to do, and then it was just like, it's a long story behind that. But anyway, there was a project I didn't want to do, and so I would sneak out of class, okay, and I would go to the band room, and Mr. DiPaolo, I think he's dead now, my teacher, hopefully he's still alive, he'd be like, hey, Sammy, what are you doing here? I said, oh, I got excused from class. Oh, okay. You're hanging out? Yeah, I'm hanging out. All right, cool. Be in my office. He was just that type of dude. And so, yeah. You know, he would go in his office or whatever, and I'd pick up the acoustic guitar because in the band I played the trumpet, but I found there were always guitars hanging around. And so I picked one up one time and I would just play Thunderstruck because I was learning it at the time. Like, I was learning how to play it really well on my electric. I'd come home every day and practice that thing. And I would skip class to go into the eighth grade band room or seventh grade band room and just blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, that's hilarious you bring that up because I used to do the same thing.
Yeah, I think, and I think everybody has, like, as far as not just guitar playing goes, but like there's that, there's those moments that seem like it takes forever. And then you look right. back and like, and now you're old.
Yeah, you know, old and, yeah, that school that I went to isn't even a school anymore. It's a, I think there's like, it's like an entertainment center thing. Like, there's offices there for entertainment centers. I can't remember what it is. But anyway, yeah, it's so funny to drive by that school and be like, used to get picked up over here and by the bus, and then the Free Staters would hit the bus with the signs. Don't pay taxes! Bleep, bleep, bleep! Okay! I'm serious. Oh, that would happen all the time. You think I'm joking?
No, no. Yeah,
scary.
Yeah.
And the guy, that's funny. My bus driver couldn't get out and fight any of these guys because he was a pancake. He barely made it out of his seat to open the door for us when we left.
Oh, man.
Anyway. Yeah. So, are you like, looking forward to, you know, I know you got some weddings coming up, and, you know, obviously yeah. we're going to continue with our product. You know, I made a comment on the podcast with Dustin about you telling their story.
Yeah, I heard that.
And, you know, if it does happen, that would be one of the single greatest documentaries of all time because there's so many roots to who those guys are.
Yeah.
Like, just to see where they came from, where they are now. You know, you may even be able to fly to Chile with George, meet his grandmother, you know? Yeah. Pancakes and, you know,
oh, man.
Whatever bananas that they get to pick off of a tree.
Yeah. Reserve. I don't, there's definitely a lot of passion. There's definitely a lot of passion projects in my future that I hope to make my career someday. Cool. Somehow. But, you know, right now I gotta like keep the balance of paying the bills with
in front of you.
With video work that pays and like, not that that stuff can't eventually lead to a paycheck, but it's like, it's a slower process to building your own brand. And even, you know, even with podcasts, you know, it's going to take a long time of just grinding, honestly. Just,
yeah, I mean, it took me a year and some change to get to where this show is right now, which is, you know, I learned how to do all this stuff, like recording and, you know, trying to be a better host and stuff like that and getting the mic levels right. There's just so many things that go into having a podcast. It's like, and then now we're at the end of the hallway where, you know, I'm coming up on like season 5 soon, you know, because I do 25 episodes per season.
Gotcha. Like, I was wondering how you do that because I'm like, man, he's only been doing it a year and he's on season right. 5.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to do like 25 episodes per season.
Yeah,
but
no,
they
that
go
makes
so
sense.
Fast.
Yeah,
because I usually do 2 a week, so I crank them out pretty good. But anyway, back to what I was saying, it was like, it was very interesting to see the guests that have come on the show.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I never in a million years thought I would be talking to somebody that was on one of the biggest shows of all time. And I never thought that that was going to happen. But, you know, it's like you said, it's all time. You know, you have to outlast these people who aren't willing to go the distance, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like,
and honestly, man, like, it's, you know, it's still a long way to go.
It is. It absolutely like, is. Yeah.
And it, like, right now, though, is the time you don't stop.
Right.
Like, and that's going. when most people stop is like, oh man, I'm not seeing results. But right. if you're not seeing results, the only thing you can do is just keep going.
Yeah, exactly. That's like Micah says about his videos, which is a good point.
Yeah.
Is that it only takes one video, you know? And so doing this podcast and, you know, trying to put out content, it's actually motivated me to do other videos. Yeah. You know, like I had that video of my bike and, you know, the video of Miller Time and stuff like that. It's like I'm trying to do these little creative projects alongside the podcast, alongside music. It's all about building the brand. And that takes a long time. It really, really does.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just I'm glad I'm not in any hot water like David Dobrik on YouTube.
I don't follow him, so I don't know.
Okay. What, do you live in a foxhole, Cal?
I mean, I know who he is, but the only, like, the only popular YouTuber, like, as in, like, in that space would be Casey Neistat for me. Amazing. Like, he's my hero. If I met him, I'd probably scream like a little girl and
I feel like
die happy.
I think we talked about his figures once, me and Micah. It's so weird because you guys are so alike. Just, I feel like I'm having this conversation all over again.
There's something weird going on with your mic, man. I don't like, I can't really hear you. I don't know if it's you. It might be Zoom because it does that once in a while. But it
might be Zoom, yeah. Or either that or turn my volume up.
No, it's like cutting
hello,
in and out.
Hello. Maybe your internet's bad.
It like did it before, but then you came back. I don't know.
I have no idea.
It's weird.
Are you good?
It's still there. It might be. Hang on. It might be me.
Oh my goodness, people! What's going on here?
There we go. All right. I think it was me.
Yeah. Okay.
My bad.
Cal, this is why we shouldn't do a podcast together, because you'll be kicking cords out of walls. I'll be having to cry in the corner. What the heck's wrong?
It totally was me. Like these like, I mean, you called it, man. These headphones are drunk. Yeah, but
you know, I usually do.
What's that?
I usually do call it. Very intelligent. I'm not sure if you know.
Yeah, we'll just unplug this. Have you come through the speakers?
Okay. Whatever you want, brother. I'm on your side.
Hopefully it doesn't feedback or anything.
No, you're fine.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I don't follow too many like big YouTubers.
What I was gonna say is that, you know, it's so funny to see Casey Neistat's craft, because now he doesn't post as often as he did.
No.
Like, people forget this guy was posting every single
day. Every single day.
Every
and it was
day.
A cinematic masterpiece. It was like a movie every single day.
Yeah.
I've watched through those vlogs. Mm-hmm. I've seen every Casey Neistat video at least once. And I think I'm on like number three of going through his daily vlogs. Like, mm-hmm. I just, like, if I watch YouTube, I'm usually watching his vlogs. He's just like so inspiring to me.
He's just intelligent. He's very intelligent. And some people are like that. It's like, you know, nobody gets cable anymore or TV, really. They don't want to do the deals because the biggest voice is this.
Yeah.
You know, it's YouTube and podcasting. It's like outside the box ideas that have now become mainstream. You know,
mm-hmm.
This is very interesting, Cal. And now they got it down to a science. You know, they got YouTube TV, they got iTunes Premium or Spotify Premium or whatever.
Yeah, all these
things have become giants, and they were nothing when we started listening to them and watching YouTube. They were nothing.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's funny, man, is like, I remember when Netflix was like the only option.
Yeah.
And I'm talking when they would send you DVDs in the mail. Right.
they probably don't even do that anymore.
No. Oh, no. I don't think so.
Wow,
but you know what's crazy, man? Is when they started doing that, they took that idea to Blockbuster, the founder of Netflix. I forget his name.
And he said no.
And Blockbuster said, no, get out of here. That's a stupid idea.
I remember that.
And Netflix, look who Netflix is now. And Blockbuster is off the face of the planet Earth. Yeah.
There's one. I think there's one left.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is, but.
It was in the Captain Marvel movie, right? Like, they used that one.
Oh, you're right. Wow, that goes back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that story. What an idiot. I mean.
Yeah. Honestly.
That's what happens, people. When you don't take a chance on friendship. and, you know, love.
I just can't see how they would think that was a bad idea, though. I feel like
because it was different, Cal. It's because they did not want to surrender to the fact that technology was changing so fast and so furious, and now it has completely monopolized everything. Because honestly,
I miss Blockbuster though, man.
Oh,
I miss
my God, I miss my video store too.
Yeah,
I had there was a place, Video Headquarters.
Yeah,
it was there for 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before Redbox, before all this crap, and it's like, and it stood the test of time until technology had just completely taken over, and people were not buying videos anymore.
Yeah, or
even renting them. It's like it was cheaper to rent online than it was in the stores, and they just couldn't keep up. But it was like,
I'm surprised Redbox is still a thing. Honestly,
I am too. I really am. I was thinking the same thing. I saw it at Hannaford's when I was walking in there shopping, and I was like, I can't believe that thing's still there.
Yeah.
Like, that's odd.
Like, I know they do games now, too, but, like...
Oh, do they? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
People rent games still?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, like, yeah, because, like, to try it out, I guess, before you buy it.
Yeah, because when you buy it, you lose your shirt and everything with it.
Yeah, honestly, games are so expensive.
$80-something dollars. When I was younger, I paid, like... I remember when Lego Star Wars came out, the second one. And I went out to buy it for Xbox, the original Xbox.
Right, right.
And the game was like $40.
Yep. That and was like the price of a new game. Yeah, like that was the premium for games.
Right.
Yeah. I remember saving my pennies for those games.
And now,
like,
you gotta buy DLCs and, you know, shake everyone's hand and become the president to get everything that you want in the game. It's like,
yeah.
Sheesh. What do I have to do to get the full game? Pay you my lifetime salary?
Yeah, I know.
Good Lord.
I know it, man.
But, man, I'm, like I said, I'm excited to get back on the road and do, like, relearn the stuff that I've already learned, I think is probably the best way I can put it. You know, not to go back to the music conversation, but it's interesting to see how people who are in bands grow as well. Like, I've seen you, and I've known you quite a long time, as I've previously said. And
sorry, it's just this classic.
I know, it's a catchphrase. I get it. I'm sorry, everyone.
You know how long I've known you.
You have any idea how long me and this guy have known each other? I forgot what I was saying. Where was I?
I don't know. It's something about I've known you for a long time.
Oh, yes. It's interesting to see your growth as a musician in a band now. Because, you know, I've seen your comfortability on stage, and I have for a long time. But, like, when I see you with Disquiet, to me, now it's become so natural. Because you just fit in so well with those guys, you know, the way you play, the style, you know, because you'll, like you said, you'll sit down and you'll try to learn something every day, you know, and it just goes to show how much it's paid off when I see you guys, you know. You do such a good job, bro. Seriously.
Thank you.
I, on the other hand, miss the strings. Because I'm sweating, and I'm like, ooh. Slide out the guitar, and, you know. Yeah.
No, man. It's cool that you're, you know, you're venturing out to try something new, for sure.
I think so, too. I mean, like I said, I'm nervous, but I think everything comes with time.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what we've talked about. Basically, that's the topic of this podcast is, you know, learning these lessons over time.
Right.
You know? Like, if I listen to my last podcast, or like the first podcast I ever did, I want to puke. I'd be like, what is wrong with me? Why did I even, why did I even start it that way? But, you know, now that we're however many episodes deep, I think we're like, we got to be almost at 100 at almost.
Yeah. You got to be close, man. I gotta for be sure. Close.
You know, it's just interesting to see. I can't believe that. Almost 100. I'm going to have to count like after this show.
Yeah.
And see what
Yeah, for sure.
What should I do for my 100th episode? Jump off my
Oh, roof? Man. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Should we? Do you want to talk about our new project?
We have a project?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of this. No, I'm just kidding. Sure. Yeah, 100%. You want to go ahead and set it off?
Yeah. Yeah. So starting who knows when, but at some time in the near future, Mr. Clap here and I will
be. I'm out of water.
He's out of water, but that's not what I was going to say. No, we'll be co-hosting another podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think the basis of it is
Las Vegas and the mob and Italians, yeah. You know, people who shoot.
I mean, anything's on the honestly, anything's on the table. Thanks. We'll just pick a random subject and we'll talk about it.
Do you like the name? Be honest with me. Did you like the name when I called you? Told you.
Yeah, like I think
is
the
it
name's
too cheesy?
Really. It a little bit.
I'm sorry,
but like no. I did like it. I did like it.
Yeah.
I feel like we got to come up with something like a little bit more
concrete.
Like we concrete and like that fits more of a broad spectrum.
Yeah. Because like okay. That was my other thought as well.
Because, like, we'll be talking about anything, you know what I mean? Like,
does charisma start with a C?
Charisma. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Why does it have to start with a C?
I don't know. I thought it was fitting, but whatever. Yeah. Cal and Clap collaboration?
I mean, like, honestly, it could be simple like that. We could do, like... Your random, we'll name it that.
How long have you had that for?
Or like your daily dose of randomness with Sam and Cal or something. That's really long, but
that's really, yeah. Oh my word.
But like something.
But yeah,
something,
I get what you're saying. So in essence, not to go stay on the name, but we're gonna try to do a show where we could talk about pretty much anything that we want, which is kind of what I do on this show, but at least Cal will get my support and friendship. And I can, you know, I think it'll be a little bit more structured than this show because it's like, we'll have one specific thing that we stay on.
Yeah.
And talk about. This show is a lot of random.
You know? Right. That's the beauty of the show. It's kind of like you get on and whatever comes to, you know, whatever comes to mind, that's kind of like, I mean, even with this episode is a great example of that. We've gone from blockbuster to games, to music, to filmmaking, to documentaries, all the way back to music again. Like, but that's just kind of what happens, you know,
that's what happens, you know, because I don't have any rules to follow. So any of you who are trying to cancel me, good luck with that, okay? I'm coming at you with grenades and kindness and friendship, so sorry. I don't know what I
Yeah, but no, like I'm really excited about it because we're gonna up the production value with my filmmaking background and Sam's gift to keep the conversation going.
That's
we're gonna
be cool. I can't wait for the cameras. Like that's gonna be nice to have something like that looks so much cooler than this.
We're gonna set up a little studio and you know get it done.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I'm dying. Yeah, so I mean it'll be nice to have like a little space where we can go to just to get away.
Yeah.
Like when we rent out that space for the podcast, there will be a place where I can go and hide and no one can find me.
Oh,
my goodness. Yeah, man, I'm excited for that. I'm looking forward to – I always like trying new projects. You know, I try to be open-minded now. When I was younger, I didn't really want to focus on one thing. I was doing a whole batch of other things and I couldn't focus on all of them. But now I've adapted to where it's like I'm able to put certain amounts of energy into projects, and I feel that that breaks up the monotony a little bit. You know, you get your hand in everything. You know, you get to develop your skills a little bit here and there. You know.
Yeah, for sure. I've always struggled with that because there's so many things that I want to do and I want to accomplish and learn. But like for me, my mentality has always been you put 100% of some like of your focus to one thing and you ignore everything else.
Right.
And that's not healthy as like in general, but especially for me, because if I do that, I'll ignore all my other responsibilities. I'll ignore my wife, which just will not end well for me.
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
Yeah. And it'll suck me in. And but that's my personality. I wouldn't call myself a workaholic, but I just, you know, my parents raised me to be hard workers. And yes, like, exactly. once I set my mind to something, it's going to get done.
There's something about that, you know, to have that sort of work ethic and always have it implanted in your brain. Like you actually feel bad if you sit down for more than 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Like it just gets that bad.
Yeah. Oh, well, for me, man, once I sit down, that's it. Like my brain just shuts off. And that's like I avoid that all
like this right here. Sometimes I'm like
Yeah, exactly, man. But like to go back to Casey Neistat, man, like I envy his work ethic so much. Like I wish I could be that focused. As him, like,
to get it done every day, that would be incredible.
Well, even just not even just the daily vlog, but if you watch those vlogs, he just always talks about work and how much he loves work. And I feel like it was a little unbalanced, and he kind of talked about that
absolutely.
In later. Like he did this podcast for a while with his wife called Couples Therapy. I don't know if you've ever heard that. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool podcast. It's on Apple and Spotify and all that. They only did it for about a year, but it's really, it's a podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did. It's called Couples Therapy. Him and his wife did it as just a way to kind of like talk out their feelings. And, but it's, I've always loved
their for the week.
I've always loved their dynamic though.
Yeah.
People
just get it sometimes. They just get it.
Yeah. But, his work ethic is mind you unbalanced, but I wish I could take like the good portion of that and apply it. Like I do my best.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I think it's unbalanced because he doesn't have a boss, you know? So it's like,
yeah, it's true.
He only has to believe or report to himself, you know?
But that's the thing is you have to have that kind of personality to be your own boss. You have to be that motivated.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, you're just going to sit on the couch watching TV until your electric bill gets shut off and they tow away your car. And you're living in a box on the street.
Getting in your car, keyless.
Yeah, you have to be driven and like be able to accept failure. And
yeah, man, if I didn't apply that advice, we would not be sitting here talking right now, because it's like, I constantly had to force myself, you know, a good amount of the time. It was very rare when I was younger going up on stage and thinking like, wow, I want to do this. But then it gets right up to the stairs and I'm like, I don't want to do this. So
yeah.
It's like, but you have to get over that hump, because if you don't, then you're just going to fail. You're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
You know, it's like taking leaps and bounds and trying to continue to top yourself just gives you more and more confidence eventually, you know? So I understand completely that work ethic. Like I can't lie to you guys, you know, I've had a lot of jobs in my life, but they lasted for a couple of years. And this one that I'm in now, I work at UPS. I've been there for the last 6 years. And you know, as stupid and as cheesy as it may sound, it turned me into a better man. Staying and learning and taking more and more and more. It's just like people have really lost their minds when it comes to sensitivity and like you know, being young, it's like, you can't say this, you can't say that. It's like, we just have become a soft generation, unfortunately. But that's neither here nor there. It's,
yeah.
What I'm saying is that I learned how at an early age to take more and more and more and use that and fuel it for other projects, you know, to prove people wrong or prove yourself wrong, you know, and just grow.
Right.
And just grow. You know.
Yeah.
I think
100%.
I think the message of this show really is, and what I've tried to promote from the beginning, is positivity. And if you keep pushing yourself to go more and more, you learn just as much. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, man. There's just something about that work ethic that has gotten so lost. You know, nobody wants to do anything anymore.
Oh, especially right now, everybody's collecting unemployment.
Employment, yep.
Nobody wants a job. It's so strange to me. Like even if I was sitting at home collecting unemployment, I'd be working on my business. I'd be, exactly. You know, I'd be building our website. I'd be posting YouTube videos. Like,
mm-hmm. It's a survival instinct to try to just keep going, do something.
I just can't imagine being in the position of, like, I'm just going to collect unemployment and play video games all day and just, like, be a slug, you know? I will say this. I get it if it's, like, if you're in a tight situation and, like, you actually can't work for one reason or another. Yeah, yeah. But, like, for the people that are just taking advantage of the system and, like, have a job to go back to, but they don't want to, like, it's just, like, come on, get off your feet, because I feel like I see eventually, obviously the unemployment is going to kick back down again.
Right.
And you're going to lose your money and you're not going to have a job because your boss has already hired someone because you're a lazy slug.
Stop texting me.
Sorry, I kind of went on a rant there because.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
You're cool.
No,
brother.
But it's, that's definitely the climate of this generation, especially, like, because everybody wants to be their own boss. Everybody wants to start their own business. Absolutely. Everybody wants to be a YouTuber. Everybody wants to have some kind of success. And they see all these people that have gotten there and they don't realize all the hard work that goes into it. I know every YouTuber preaches this, is like, work hard and you'll get there eventually, but nobody listens. Mm-mm. Like 10% of people that watch those videos will actually, like, go through that. Like, they all hit that roadblock where it's like, oh man, this is actually really hard. I'm like doing all this work and I have seen no, you know, accomplishment from it.
Right.
But, you know, it's taking it from there to there. And that's when you start seeing success, but everybody stops here.
Right.
And I'm here right now, you know, with my projects and my business, my podcast, everything. And it's like, it's that constant struggle of like, don't stop, man. Cause you know, you're going to regret it. Like,
yeah,
exactly. And I'm cause I've had a business that's failed in the past. And that's what happened to me, is I stopped right here. It's not that I had a bad work ethic but I stopped when it got hard because I'm like, oh, I guess I can't do it.
Right.
But it took like motivating people like Casey Neistat to be like, dude, this is when you don't stop. This is when you keep going. This is when, like, if you keep going, eventually you will see progression results from it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like when you eat at a restaurant and their food's crappy, you know, you're just willing to say, I'm not going to the restaurant anymore. Or do you go back and try again and see if they can do it again? You know,
right, giving it a second chance for sure.
It took me a long time to sort of find the job that I wanted to stay in, which is the one I have right now. I love my job. I love the people I work with. My supervisor's great. You know, I get vacations, pension, you know, the whole nine.
Yeah.
But it took a long time to get there.
You know, for sure.
You have to keep trying to find the next best thing until you find out what you can stay in. You know, it's like, you could roll with this for a while. That's like when, you know, when the music stopped here and I had nobody, I turned to podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something that I have been schooled on. You know, I know how to talk to people, I think. I would hope that I do. You know, it's just...
Yeah, that's definitely your shining quality of this podcast, for sure, is just the fact that you can keep the conversation going, and no matter what kind of guest you have on, you genuinely seem interested in what they have to say.
Yeah. Oh, my word. For sure. I mean, it's... That's what it's all about, is just getting to know... You know, that's the another big thing about the show, is like just getting to know the people that are willing to come on and what makes them tick. You know, it's like I could have 1,000 conversations and forget who that person is tomorrow, but I still have this podcast to remind me. And, you know, that's the other thing, too, is just like keeping the memories alive.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel about, you know, going through YouTube videos now, it motivates me to want to film more, because it can be a memory for later, even if it's something I never post publicly, you know, if it's just like, but it's captured on film, you know.
Yeah.
And people always like it's hard, because sometimes when you're doing stuff, like say you're at a concert or if you've hiked up the top of the mountain and you're looking at the pretty view, it's hard to like take yourself away from that moment and shove a camera in front of your face, in front of your eyeballs.
Yeah.
But it's like, I feel that it's worth it.
Yeah.
Even because it's like, you can relive that memory, not only in your mind, but through actual what it was like there. But it is a balance sometimes too, especially at like concerts. You know, I hate it. Like, I don't want to have my phone in front of my face the whole time. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to film the whole concert, because it's like some moments are that special that it should just relive in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I'll take a couple pictures just of the band, and then maybe like one video, and then I'll put my phone away.
Sometimes it'll be my favorite song and I'll like have it ready.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then it's gone.
And then it's gone, you know, because it's like that was Corey's big thing too, is that like when we were going to concerts, it's like we came from that generation where things, you know, everyone's phones were just coming out. And Corey would look at me and just shake his head and be like, just don't turn into this. Just don't turn into these people.
Yeah. Cause it's like,
don't worry about that. We're good.
Well, for people his age and older, it was like bands back then didn't want you to film at their concerts.
Not at all. They got angry.
Yeah, it was like illegal. Yeah. Like I remember watching a documentary about it must have been the 80s, because it was Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
80s or maybe early 90s. I forget when they were together, but exactly. But this guy had a home camera in filming the show up in the front, and Axl Rose flipped out on him.
Oh, shocking.
I mean, he's a drama queen anyways, it caused a riot, because what happened is he flipped out on him, and then he got back on stage and he's like, you know what? I'm done. I'm not playing the show.
Yep.
And everybody was like, and Slash and everybody else is like, where'd he go? I guess we're done playing the show. So they all left. And the crowd flipped out, like, naturally, because they weren't that far into the show. And, like, they destroyed that stadium. People died. They were, like, huge rampage. Oh,
my gosh.
But all from just one guy trying to film the show. And now guys are like, man, free publicity. Everybody's posting it on their Instagrams. Go ahead. But, like,
that
back then,
awful.
It was so weird. It's like a mini documentary on YouTube. You can find it, but
It was
crazy. It was like huge incident. It was on the news.
Is this when they toured with Metallica?
Maybe. I forget.
Because he was causing a lot of trouble back in those days when him and Metallica were trying to tour. He kind of ruined everything. He's just a hothead, man. I mean,
honestly.
He got triggered, and then Slash got drunk and left the band, and now they're back together, and they're fat and ugly.
Fat and ugly and old.
We love you. We love each other.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, man, it's what a contrast that is. You know, I watched a documentary years ago. Green Day had just come out with like three albums at once. And they came
Uno Dos Tres.
And then they came out with a documentary called Quattro. And there's a section in the documentary where they talk about playing live for the first time, all these songs, and sort of just playing one club and not playing the hits. And they've told people to put their phones away.
Yeah.
Because it was all new stuff. So that I would get if they had new stuff and they didn't want it to be released and to put the phone away.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm not Green Day.
Yeah. Thank the Lord for that. Oh, man.
Oh, should we wrap it up?
I think so, man.
Okay, let's wrap this up. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, sailors and savages of all ages, thank you once again for tuning in to the Why You Laughing podcast. We're all over the place on this one, which is fine. But Cal Fody, thank you again, buddy.
Hey, man.
Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. It was a
pleasure to see you. And look out for the documentary. It's not coming out yet, but we are working on it. I am working on my notes. And I got big plans. All right. Thanks, guys.